Okay, I guess we should begin. The Zecher Nishmas Avi Mori Yaakov Nisal Pilchas, the Zecher Nishmas Daniel Shenavas Yeshua Falak. Okay, so we said we're going to start with the Inyan of mezuzahs on elevators. Right, that's what we said we'll start with. And then Sam said, Sam's in a car with going up to the mountains with some people, and they had some shayla about mezuzah. So we'll do that right after this thing, okay? Okay. So mezuzah, so what would you say?
It should be like a hallway. It doesn't require a mezuzah.
It what?
It should be like a hallway, because the goal is just to get from place to place.
And therefore, what's it in by a hallway?
Pischei Shuvah, I think, they're quoted. Yeah,
quoted it says from the Chamudei Daniel.
Says it does not need a mezuzah.
That it does need a mezuzah, right?
It does? Got to check my notes here.
Check your notes.
Oh, right. It does.
Right, because okay. It's not for Mokum Dira, it's just the passageway, and therefore we sort of grouping from the Rashash that it's functional, even though it's narrow, because it's functional that way.
So, right.
But I follow the sheet of that Mikra Din, you don't need a mezuzah. Because the big difference with an elevator is that there's no kvias. In other words, it's not like you're walking into a room. The room is not there. It's an airspace, and then you have this box that's moving up and down, moving up and down. So, that's how some posts can hold, that it wouldn't be chayiv in mezuzah, because it's not a knisa to a bias. This is not a bias. This is something that's not permanent, it's just a box that's moving up and down, moving up and down. Really, it's an empty space there. So that's why I feel Mikra Din, there's no requirement. And I think they say from Shlomo Zalman, a similar, that type of svara. I remember when I got married originally, I wanted to see Rabbi Yashiv. I went with my wife, we went to see Rabbi Yashiv. And Rav Yashiv had an elevator in his dira. I guess maybe it was hard for him to walk up and down the stairs, so they had an elevator that had a mezuzah. But okay, I don't know what his psak was, but I think Meigra Din, the elevators do not require a mezuzah. So that's because of this idea that it's not a makom kavua. Oh, Rabbi Orlean is just coming on. Hi, Rabbi Orlean. Okay, we just started a minute ago, but we were just talking about elevators. But elevators. So I told them that I hold Meikar Adin, an elevator does not require mezuzah because it's not a Mokum Kavua. It's basically an airspace with a box that's moving up and down, but there's no kvias. It's not like a Mokum Dira that you walk into a room that the room's always there. You know, in some places they do. I just mentioned Rav Yashiv in his apartment. He had a mezuzah on his elevator, but I recall that. But I don't think I can't say what he said. But I followed the sheet, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think I checked this up to make sure that was Shlomo Zalman's opinion. But either there are some opinions like that. There are people on mechayiv, but I think the Iker Halacha is that the elevators are not chayiv in mezuzah for this reason, that it's not a makom kavua. Does somebody want to say something about this? So even though Yosef Roth is right, that in a certain way it should be similar to a passageway, and if you hold like the Chamudei Daniel, passageways are chayiv even if they're not dal al dal, but that's a regular passageway that's kavua b'mkomo. This is just a box that's moving up and down, and when it's not there by your floor, it's an airspace. It's an empty space. So I can't imagine that's Dumi Dedira. And therefore, I think Meikar Adin, it does not require a mezuzah. Okay. Now, Sam Berkowitz wanted to say that there's some people in the car now. Where's Sam? Sam, where'd you disappear? Where'd you disappear to, Sam? Sam?
I think he just disappeared a moment ago.
Yeah. Okay, but Sam is driving up to the Poconos now, and he said that there are people in the car who heard that there's a Shir Mezuzah. They said, oh, we have a Shaila on Mezuzah, and I guess maybe he lost reception. So when he gets the reception again, we could bring in his question. Oh, is he coming on? Okay, no, I don't know. Okay, so when he comes back, he'll, but that's the, yeah. Did anyone want to ask something else from yesterday's share on that? But that was what we left off. Okay, now, one of the important parts of Hilchos Mezuzah is to know where to put the mezuzah. So we discussed, you know, the right side of Makom Knesa, and then we discussed yesterday what's called the Makom Knesa. But, okay, say we determine what's the right side. But now, where on that side do you put the mezuzah? Where on that side do you put the mezuzah? So the Gemara says that it's on the Shlisha Elyon. You put on the Shlisha Elyon, meaning that you divide the doorway into three parts. Each one is a third. And then the bottom of the top third is where the mezuzah goes. If you put it a little higher, it's not the end of the world. But if you put it within a tefach of the mashkof, you're not yotzei. You put it within the tefach of the mashkof, you're not yotzei. But it should be in the bottom of the shlisha elya. If you put it lower than that, you're also not yotzei. If you put it lower than the shlisha elya, you're not yotzei. That's why I think Rav Ephraim Greenblatt had a tshuva once about, you know, some people in their children's room, they have little children that are very small, and they want to put the mezuzah so they could kiss it, so they put it lower down. So that's not a proper thing to do. Mevatel the mitzvah, it's a bitul hamitzvah, it's improper chinuch on all levels. You should never put a mezuzah lower than the shlish elyon for a little child. It's a bitul mitzvah essay if you do such a thing. And it's pashut. I don't think anyone says differently. It's certain things maybe I'll tell you a chidushim that maybe I say and others don't say. Like I told you some, I hold like the Chamud Niel, not like Rabbi Kiva Eger, whatever. Some people hold like Rabbi Kiva Eger. But this is Lekulei Alma. And if you do that, you mevatel the mitzvah essay. Tuvia, did you want to say something?
What do you do in the Heights, for example, where there's many of the doorways are like a are arch? Like, where do you count shlishim from?
Okay, we'll get to that. So the archways we'll get to momentarily. But let's say you have a very tall doorway. You have a very tall doorway. So where should you put the mezuzah? On a very tall doorway. No, what would you say? On both sides?
Bottom of the top third, no?
Top third. Who said, Moshe?
Yeah.
Top third. Is there... And would you have any svara to argue with that? Not to put it on the top third?
That's not shelter ba'eno. You're not going to see it.
You're not going to see it. It's not shelter ba'eno. So there is a shach quoting a Yerushalmi. If you look here in Reish Pei Tez Beis, he says, Mokum Kviyasa is Betchila Shlisha Elyon. And Rabosa, it means the whole mezuzah has to be within the Shlisha Elyon. If part of the mezuzah dips lower down than the Shlisha Elyon, then you're not Yotze. But says... The Shach and Sifkat and Dalid, Aber lamat mishlish el dem posel. Kosu ora poskim da a pesach avo harbe. That this is the shach in reish pei tes dalet. Sha pesach avo harbe yenichreha keneged kseifov. That's in the packet. It's Yerushalmi and Megillah. Yechel keneged kseifov. What do you think of that? You like that pesach? Do you like that psak? Put it shoulder height. Even though it's what? It's lower than the Shlish Elyon. What do you
say? Wouldn't this be a machlokas Yerushalmi and Bavli where we just go against according to the Bavli and not Yerushalmi?
So Tov Yisrael says, should we view this as a machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi? And we should follow the what? The Bavli. Because the Bavli doesn't have this halacha. So he's saying that the Bavli doesn't have this halacha, so we should just follow the Yerushalmi. Now, what we mean the Bavli doesn't have the halacha, he's saying, so therefore we should say the Bavli argues with the Yerushalmi, and the Machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi, we should follow what? The Bavli.
Follow Bavli.
Yeah. And Moshe, Mark, what do you say?
Why is this any different than the Chinuch Svara? To say that the same way that the kids wouldn't be able to see it, so too the adults wouldn't be able to see it. It's the same thing. It's just a matter of how tall is it, no?
Yeah. So Moshe, Mark says, just like I was so adamant saying, if you do it for a little kid and you put it lower down so he could see it, it's puzzle. It's a bittel mitzvah essay. I mamish through the book, right? And anyone who does that. So the same thing there. So what do you say? So I'll tell you. I'm a staunch believer of this shach. That Yerushalmi says to put it in Keneg Seifov. So that's it. You put a Keneg Seifov. So who disagrees with this? Who's the... It's not like I'm his Bar Palukta, but who disagrees? You know who disagrees? Rav Avadi Yosef. He has this tshuva. We're saying it's not in the Mechaber. You know, Maran the Mechaber. It's not there. He doesn't quote this Yerushalmi. So it means he probably didn't hold from it. And therefore, he's stark to say that you shouldn't do that. So what do you say? He has a taina. You have a taina? What do you think?
According to the shach, the other problem would be that you would be allowed to put it from shoulder height and up.
According to the shach, you put it in the shoulder height.
Let's say shoulder height is, let's say, the bottom third even. Then would you be allowed to do it at shoulder height and there's a whole gap you're not allowed to do it, or the top third?
Well, he's saying shoulder height. Okay, you know, give or take a little bit, you know, within reason. But the shach would say that you shouldn't put it in the shlish elyon then. So you should know the psak of the shach is mekubal. That's the mekubal psak. Not like the Rav Avadi Yosef. This is the mekubal psak. So what's the idea? What's the pshat? So Rav Abadi once said to me the following svara, and I have rayas to what he said. He said to me that I always used to thought there's like two tracks in Hilchas Mezuzah. There's the tall door track and the regular door track. So the tall door track is the Bein HaKsefayim. And the regular track is Shlish Elyon. So Rav Abadi said to me, no, it's the same halacha. It's the same halacha. That the Shlish Elyon is a hashara of the Bein HaKsefayim. And the normal door. And therefore, it's not two different tracks. It's the one track. And what is the, what's the idea? The idea is that the mezuzah should be noticeable while you're walking in the room. So therefore, if you put it in the Shlish Elyon, which is by your shoulder, that's somewhat, you know, by the vision of your eye. So then that's where it is. And therefore, it's not two halachas, it's one halacha. And then I saw in the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu. Orchas Rabbeinu is a Sefer written by Rav Avram Horowitz Atzal, who was, I think, the brother-in-law of Rav Shlomo Zalman, who was very close to the Stipler. And he was Mashamish the Stipler, and he recorded everything the Stipler did. You know, this is what the Stipler did on this Pesach, and he gave out this amount of matzah. It's a fascinating Sefer, all the different hanhagas from the Stipler for many different years. And then, once in a while, he puts in hanhagas from the Chazon Ish as well. So he writes that the Chazon Ish also thought that it's not so much the Shlish Elyon, it's the Bein HaKsefayim, which is the same, basically the same idea. That's one halacha. And how do I know this halacha is true? So what's the so there's a din in Shulchan Aruch. You see this in Eretz Yisrael. I don't see it so much in America. And that is, you can put the mezuzah in the mezuzah, meaning in the wall. You saw it in Yerushalayim. They have the Jerusalem stones. So they would sometimes have the mezuzah in the stone. I'm sure you've all seen that, right? Did you ever see that in America in your life? I don't think I've ever seen it in America in my life. In Eretz Yisrael, you see, but it has to be within the tefach, the outer tefach of the internalness of the Jerusalem stone. But the halacha is that if you would plaster it over, even though it's within the tefach hachitzon, and now you can't even see it's not nikar that there's a mezuzah there, then you're not yotze. Then you're not yotze, because the mezuzah has to be nikar. So if you would plaster it over, it wouldn't be nikar, you won't be yotze. And the same thing, when you put it in the Shlish Elyon, so the Yerushalmi is saying that if you're going to put it in the Shlish Elyon in a tall door, you're not going to see it, so then you defeated the purpose. Now, if I didn't have that Yerushalmi, I wouldn't. Now, does the Bavli necessarily disagree? Maybe it was is pashut to the Bavli also. It's just maybe since it's not so common to have such a hechitimsa, especially, you know, Bezman Chazal, they didn't build like we build today, all types of stories and all types of, you know. So just because it wasn't found explicitly in the Bavli doesn't mean that the Bavli would argue with the Yerushalmi. So I'm a big believer to put it. Let me tell you what my beliefs are in Judaism. I'll tell you this. So one belief I have, imamin, that you should follow the Shach. Not like Rav Avadia. Okay. Even though, you know, we had a, I like to write for the Kovetz HaMashpir in honor of Rav Avadia. I always try to write for that. I write, you know, I had an audience with him when he came to YU in Tovshin Nun Aleph. He was there for the week, and I was eating breakfast Friday morning. It was Iyar Tovshin Nun Aleph. I just wrote something about it. That goes back 30 years ago. I was eating breakfast in what's called a Lake Como pizza. And on a Friday morning, and my friend Rabbi Tzvi Harari walked in, and he said, you know, Rav Avadia is in the library right now. We should go speak and learning with him. And I was a little shy, a little timid, whatever. But Lamaisa, he got me to do it. And we sat down there with him, and he was eating breakfast. They had a place on the fourth floor for him to eat breakfast, and Rabbi Chalap was there, and maybe one or two Sephardi, a son of his, and another Sephardi guy there, and we spoke for like an hour. So I recently wrote up some part of the conversation. I wrote up the Bezer Shem should be hopefully printed in the next Hamashbir B'Lian Har. We had a conversation about shutting off the gas on Yontif. That's another part of my beliefs in Judaism. is that the less fire, the better. That's why I told my wife, when we get married, we're going to light two candles for Shabbos. Not like people who write for every kid that gets born, and every, you know, some people that have a furnace of candles. Said, no way. Two candles, and that's a chiddush. You know, really, Mikra Dinya will have to light one candle. The Prima Gadim says, Shalom v'zocher, the minhag is to light two. But this idea for every kid that's born, and then the grandkids, you know, and then her sister who got married before her, who was going to take upon this idea to do whatever she wanted to do, like what we did also. Because, you know, chas v'shalom could be a lot of, you know, so my sheet. That's why, you know, technically speaking, I'm a big believer on Hanukkah to light one menorah for the whole family, like the Sephardim. And no, 50% of my blood is Sephardi. Did I say that yesterday? 50% of my blood is Sephardi. So I have the Sephardi Natiyas in me. So that's what I hope. But so that I can't win, because the kids would never let me do that. You know, they wouldn't light the menorah. So I let everyone light, like the minhag of Ashkenazim. But really, I hold there should be just one menorah for the whole family. But the less less fire, the better. So what was I saying? Why did I speak about the less fire, the better? What?
Rebbe's conversation with Rav Avadya.
Oh, Rav Avadya, yeah, Rav Avadya Yosef. Yeah, we had a conversation with Rav Avadya Yosef about whether you can shut the gas on Yontif. So I'm a big believer to shut the gas on Yontif. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein's kula. Rav Avadya Yosef doesn't hold from that. So I wrote up the conversation that we had from 30 years ago. I thank Rabbi Harari, because he's the one who convinced me to go and have the conversation. So Baruch Hashem, so we had and then he invited me to come to his house. The next time you come to Eretz Yisrael, you should come visit me. So I came with my father, says Chorona Lavracha, that we were going back to Eretz Yisrael that night. But we made it. That was before he moved to Har Nof. Then he was used to live near the Inbal, the hotel. He used to live right there next to it, nearby. So we visited him there, and that was good. But not every psak do I follow. So I'm into the to put it on the bottom, not to put in a big door. Not to put it on the Shlish Elyon, like the Shach. I'm also into turning off the gas on Yontif, like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Not like Rav Avadya Yosef also. And then I'm into something else also. And this, I'll tell you, most people are not like me on this. On this, the next psak I'm going to tell you. When I told you before, the Shach, following the Shach against the Rav Avadya, the Rav Olam is like the Shach. It's not like Rav Avadya. That's more. But this, I'm not on the main, even though I have my support, and I'm very stark about this as well. And that is the Heights Kitchens. So you know the Heights Kitchens? You ever live in Washington Heights? They have the protruding thing on the bottom. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'll draw you a picture. I'll draw you a picture one second so you can see what I mean, what the Heights Kitchens are. It's basically, it comes up and then it goes and it goes up. You have like a little counters, One second. Yeah. One second. I'm going to draw you the picture, and then I'll show you. Yeah. Do you see this picture?
We can bring closer to the camera. No, up.
Can you see it?
Up. A little bit. Yeah, slightly more. Yeah.
Can you see it, guys? You walk through here. And there's a you can't walk through here. This is filled in. This is...
I think it's a little backwards, Rebbe.
Yeah, it's backwards. You're right. I did it backwards. You're right. I'm sorry. I did it backwards. I apologize. I'm going to draw another picture. I am not the biggest artist. I will draw another picture for you guys.
It's when the archway of the hallway looks like a mushroom.
A mushroom.
I mean,
right.
I think it'll be fixed if you hold it upside down. Yeah.
Now you got it? Right. So where do you put the mezuzah? Now you're going to walk through here. And you can't walk through here. Right, is this a good picture? Yeah, no. One second, I'm so sorry. One second, I'm a little bit... Yeah, one second, I think this picture is the best picture. Here. Look at this picture.
A little bit.
See it?
Slightly to the right.
This picture here. So you walk through here. This is a counter. You can't walk through here. So a lot of people. So where do you put the mezuzah? Do you put the mezuzah on the right side over here? Or do you put it over here? So some people say there's a chavis das in the derech. You know the derech chaim sitter. You ever hear of the derech chaim sitter? You know what the Derech Chaim Siddur is? Who was the Derech Chaim? The Derech Chaim was Rav Yaakov of Lisa, the Nisivis. And he wrote a Siddur. And the Siddur is the Siddur with Piskei Halacha. And then recently people said, who needs his Siddur? I have a lot of Siddurim. I need this Nisivis to print me a Siddur. I don't need this in the Sivis to print me a Siddur. So they forgot the Siddur, and then they just print the Piskei Halacha. And that's how the minhag is these days. So he says, if the thing is 10 fachim high, then you can put it on the lower part. Because he says, you can't put it here, because he says, that's not the Pesach. Pesach is where you walk. Here, like Rav Gutman pointed out, over here, so you put... So a lot of people have their mezuzah on the lower part. So I follow the shita that's no good to do that. Why? Because it's not the shlish aliyim. It's not the shlish aliyim. So recently, Reuven Mendelwitz was here, is sofer from Eretz Yisrael. I know him from Brooklyn. So he said to me, so why don't you just say it's Potter? So enough on me, maybe it is Potter. But anyway, it's usually not Dalet al Dalet. But if you're going to be Choshesh for the Chamudei Daniel and you want to put it up, so where should you put it up? So a lot of people put it here. But in the Sefer Das Kedoshim on the bottom of the Das Kedoshim, he writes that the idea of putting it here of the Chavis Das is only if this will be in the Shlish Elyon. But since this is not the Shlish Elyon, then it won't be good. So it could be, you're right, like Rabbi Mendelsohn said, maybe Mikra Din, it's Potter anyway, because it's usually not Dalet al Dalet. But I feel you should put it here. And even though you walk through here, you don't walk over here, because this is put in, but Lamaisa, this is still... the Pesach. Like the Satmar Rebbe has a tshuva. Because even though you can only walk in the middle, it's still the Tzuras HaPesach still can be considered on the outer parts. He writes that in Gabi Hilchos Eiruvin about the Tzuras HaPesach. So the Shitasi, I'm very into, and it works in with Rav Abadi's whole thing that it has to be, just like it's not Nikar when you put it over here. Just like when it's too high, it's not Nikar. It's too low, it's also not Nikar. So if you want to say it's Yipata Mikra, then fine. I accept that, because anyway, it's not Dalet al Dalet. But if it would be Dalet al Dalet, and then it would, I mean, so then it would be what to say that it would be more of a potential Chiv, but I would still say to put it over here, because this is not the Shlish Elyon. So I'm against people who put the mezuzahs on this low pot. even though there are a lot of people who do that, and a lot of Talmidei Chachamim who hold from that. But I'm very the Shitasi. I'm very into the, you know, following the Shach, not to put it when it's too high. So I'm also not to put it when it's too low, even though the Chavos Das seem to say it. But in the bottom of the Das Kedoshim, I think of the Mikdash Ma'at or whatever, it says that that's only if that lower part is still within the Shlish Aliyah. So that's what I hold for the highest. So Migur din inochanami, it could be that it's potter, but Lamaisa, it's not. Migur din could be potter, but Lamaisa, it's not going to be the Shlish Aliyah. So that's what I hold. Okay, Sam, we were going to call on you, and then we lost you.
Yeah, the mountains did not have good reception, but I'm at where I'm staying, so I'm good now. So my brother moved into a house recently, and he has a detached garage, and he was wondering if that needs a mezuzah, and if whether it matters if it's detached or not.
How much detached from the house is it?
From the house... I would say about 8 feet.
Is 8 feet away from the house. Oh, so this is the story. There is a concept in halacha called a base otzar. That's a storage place. So there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh whether a storage place is chayav in mezuzah or not. So we pass in the halacha that it's chayiv. Okay? Some Rishonim say it's only chayiv if you actually go in and you do things in the room. But if you just keep storage things there, they're not. Oh, so there is a chiddush that I heard from Rav Abadi and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Sefer Mechitzas Rabbeinu. Also is attributed this Kiddush as well. And that is a storage place. Why is a storage place chayiv? It's not a makom dira. You don't live there. You don't, right? But the answer is a storage place, like sometimes in your own basement, you use a room, this is the storage room. So would you have to put a mezuzah? So these Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Abadi both said that the storage place is only chayiv if it's in conjunction with a dira. So then you could say that the storage place is part of your living function. You follow? That, but say I'm sure you've all, you know, especially now in the summer, you go up to the mountains and you see the billboards. You know, storage place, you know, I'm sure you've seen that, you know, billboards for storage places all the time, right? So, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Lahavdil Mechayim Mechayim Rav Abadi both hold that if the storage place is not in the confines of a real dira, it's not Meshamish the dira, then you wouldn't be Chayiv in Mezuzah. It's only because it's part of your living quarters. So Mimela, so if you have a detached, what would you say, a detached what?
A detached garage.
They
use it just for storage.
And you keep it for storage, but you're going to use those things to bring in the house sometimes. Right, so that's nitpal to the dira, so then that would be the storage place that the Shulchan Aruch says is mechayev. But if it's not a dira at all, then not. So therefore, if you use a storage place in the middle of Yupitsville that you rent storage, then Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Abadi both said that we wouldn't need a mezuzah on such a stage. Because it's not a makom dira. But even though you don't live in your garage, but it's part of your dira. You keep things in the garage, and that's part of your living quarters. So it's nitpal to your living quarters.
Yeah, just a follow-up question. We define conjunction then as like function. Like I keep stuff in the garage and therefore I'm going to bring it in. In the beginning you asked how close physically it was. Does that matter as well or
I just wanted to know if it's like within the vicinity of the house, so then the idea is that's part of the shemesh of the house. But if it's just Tom in the middle of nowhere, you just rent storage place, and you're not living anywhere near there, so that's not a Mokum Dira. You follow? Yeah. Moshe?
You're not coming if it actually is close. Like, in five towns, I saw they opened, like, this big storage place, and it could be that people live two blocks away and have, like, even though it's in, like, one of these official storage places, but they still live close. Is that what that'd be enough for me?
Yeah, I don't know. Close, I think, means that it's there. It's rubbish on your...
It's on your property, or...
Yeah, right. I don't think if it's just two blocks away, I think that's already, you know, detached, so to speak. And that would, yeah. That's why another nafkamina would be the following. There's a discussion when you buy a house, when do you put up a mezuzah? So the answer is, if you buy a house, you have to put it up right away. People are very mezalzel in this halakha. I've been in people's homes. And, you know, for Shabbos, they have a home, they own the home. And they still have places in the home that they didn't put up mezuzahs. We're getting it. What do you mean you're getting it? You're mevatel lemitzvah's essay every second that you're living in the house and there's no mezuzah. In other words, if it's rent, b'chutz la'aretz, so then you have the 30-day respite. But if you bought the house, you're chayiv right away. So the question is, what's right away? So someone tied in, well, maybe, you know, when you buy a house, so then you put the furniture in and then you move in. So, and we hold a mokum Beit Zoytzer is chayiv in mezuzah. But that Rav Abadi pointed out, no, because if you didn't move in yet, then that's like a storage place that's not by your dira. So it would only be when you physically are moving in, even though your furniture was there already 2 weeks ago. And you bought the house and furniture is already in place. But you're not living there yet, so it's not a Mokum Dira. So in other words, so that's what everybody said, based on what he said before. Storage has to come together with Dira. And if there's no Dira yet, then the fact that there's your things, you don't say, oh, now my house is a storage place, so it's Chayv and Mezuzah. But you don't live there yet. So that's a big yisod. But people have to realize that when they buy a house, they have to put up a mezuzah right away. Somebody just asked me a shayla just recently. They just bought a condo, but their mezuzahs, they're having a sofa write mezuzahs with special specifications based on this person's knowledge in mezuzah. He wants. So that's going to take time. So he asked me if I know of a mezuzah gemach that he could get mezuzahs to put up in the house until the sofer writes the mezuzahs. And there, he bought it. It's not a rented thing. It's a condo. He owns it. So I told him, maybe go to a local sofer. Maybe he has some extra mezuzahs he can. But if not, you mevatel a mitzvah essay. Kol zman, that you don't, you know. Somebody also recently asked me, oh, the sofer... It's going to take 3 days to... What do you mean 3 days? You don't have 3 days to check mezuzahs. You go to the sofer when he's ready to check your mezuzahs, and then you give it to him and take an hour, you know, a little bit, you know, and then put it back on. You can't just say, oh, 3 days, we can, you know, we're checking the mezuzahs. It doesn't take 3 days. This sofer maybe has a lot of business, so you then go to him when it's your turn, when he's holding by your turn. But, you know... You know, and you know, this is the idea of just not having mezuzahs on, you know, is not, you know, so getting checked. But how long does it have to get checked? It's not, you know, get checked in a good way. It shouldn't take 3 days. So if he has a lot of customers, so then you go to him when it's your turn and give it to him. Okay? The Rambam has a chiddush in Hilchos Mezuzah that you're only chayiv in a mezuzah if there's a door. It's not enough to have a doorway, you need a door. What do you think of that? So if it's a, a lot of times in people's living rooms, they have an archway, we have to get back to that question as well. An archway, but there's no door, so it's a doorway. So what's the halacha? So the Rambam says it's not chayiv in mezuzah. So we don't follow the Rambam. We put it up even without a door. But in deference to the Rambam, we don't make a bracha. Unless there's a door there. And the Rambam says, in the Kesem Mishnah, the Chachmei Lonil, they asked the Rambam, how do you know that halacha? So he says, it's Beferish HaPasuk. Usafta Amal Mezuzah Beisecha Uvisharecha. What's a shar, a gate? A gate is a door. A gate is a door. So therefore, you need a door. And if no door, the Rambam says no chiv whatsoever. What do you think of that? So we don't follow the Rambam, we put it up, but we don't make a bracha. Because according to Rambam, it would be a bracha of Atala. You need a door. Rav Soloveitchik, he followed the shita that you need a molding. What's a molding? You ever see in a doorway? You see over here? Do you see this door? Can you see the door over here? There's a molding. The outline. Yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that if there's no molding, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. In other words, even if you're not following the Rambam that says you need a door, but you need mezuzah, you need a tzuras ha-pesach, you know. If there's no molding, a kana mikan al-gabayim, and that's Rabbi Ganak told me, and someone else told me, I have in my Sefer Aneri when I quoted, that he himself, the Rav Soloveitchik, didn't have mezuzahs in his parts of his house that didn't have, like when you have a living room and you have an archway, usually there's no molding there, right? There's no separate piece, right? So then, well, our meaning is we put up a mezuzah there, not without a bracha because there's no door, but we put it up. But Rav Soloveitchik. There's a Ritva that's mashra like that, even though Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a different shot in the Ritva. He seems to say that as long as it's nikar, that it's a passageway, then you don't need a molding. But Rav Soloveitchik was very into the molding. So if there's no molding, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. But, in other words, you should realize that, like, if for some reason you didn't have a mezuzah right away, which, again, it should never happen, you have to make sure when you're moving into a house. If you're sleeping there tonight, you better have the mezuzahs up. But if for some reason you didn't, so at least prioritize which rooms you're going to put it on. Meaning a room with a door, not just a doorway. A room that's dalet al dalet. Right? So, and I forgot to mention yesterday, you know, some machlokas with an 8x2 is good enough. And it's machlokas poskim, but the Taz says he thinks everyone you need 4x4. The Chazanish agrees to that. Not 8x2, 4x4. Now, we said the hallway might be 8x2, but that can have a separate chiyuv because maybe it doesn't need dal ever dal mechlal because of the chamudi daniel. Wow. What do you say? It's good. Okay, any questions?
Yes.
Yeah, Brian, what do you say, Brian?
Just on the previous topic, I was wondering, very often you have apartment buildings, and there's a garage, and there's a set of garages, like, on the ground in the apartment complex. So do you think that's officially close enough to the apartment to behave it at the Zuzah?
Okay, let's talk about apartment buildings. I live in an apartment building. And do you know that my apartment building, there is no mezuzah? I have it on the door of my apartment, and in the apartment also we have, obviously. But what about the front door? What about the front door? There is no mezuzah on the front door. What do you think? Are we avaryanim? We say in Yom Kippur, Anu Matirim, L'spala, L'mahar Vayarnim. What do you say? So I'll tell you, Rabbi Hussein. This is the story. You see, when I first moved in, so the building was not owned, I think, by Jews. Then YU bought the building. When YU bought the building, so then I tried to tell the people in YU, maybe we should put up a mezuzah now on the front door. And you should know that one year in Purim, you know the story in Purim? So if you're ever in 475 West 186th Street on Purim, in Rav Goldberg's apartment, so it's very Labor Day there. You should know, my wife gave birth to so far youngest son on Purim, so we had to go to the hospital. It was he's now six, so it was that Purim was a snowstorm. It was a snowstorm, so we went to Beth Israel to the Lower East Side, and my son Yisrael Piffle says, no, we have to go back to the Heights because we can't miss out Purim by Rav Goldwacht. And he made him take him back. And we had the Suda by Rav Goldberg because my wife was in the hospital. She just gave birth. And he said, we cannot miss Purim there. So the way the Purim starts by Rav Goldberg is he starts out at night and in the apartment, and then he walks with the entourage to the Chagiga. So one year, he decided on the way to the Chagiga, when he comes out of the apartment building, he's going to be koveya a mezuzah on the front door. And that's what he did. And then a day or two later, it was gone. We found where they put it, where someone put it, but it was gone. So what's the story? Yes, mezuzah? In our building, a no mezuzah. Right now, we don't have a mezuzah. Ever since he did that, that was several years ago. That was several years ago when he did that. And we don't have a mezuzah there. So, you know, there is a din in Shulchan Aruch, the post can bring down, that if it's makom goyim, and you're afraid that they're going to mutilate it, you know. So that was Rav Abadi's psak. I mean, I guess he has a vision of Manhattan, that it's, you know, that maybe the Gagayim will just take the mezuzahs, and, you know, which ultimately maybe that's talking what happened, or they didn't steal it, they put it someplace else, they put it in the mail room, whatever, found it in the mail room or something like that. So maybe you have that heter. So it's interesting, I once asked Rav Dov. I had a zchus, one of my zchusim in life. I married, my wife is from the Lower East Side. So, in the Lower East Side, you have communal sukkahs. It's not like what you have in your, you know, your private sukkah with your family. It's like, someone once said to me, it's like camp. You know, you're like, with the whole, so, and then there are a couple of them throughout the neighborhood. You have like 100 or so people, you know, together. It's very geschmack. In fact, for Pesach, you know, we always switch. One year we'd go to my parents for the Seder, one year we'd go to my wife's parents. For Sukkot, I said, no, I'm happy to be by you every Sukkot. And Rav David Feinstein was with us in the Sukkot. You know, so that was the key time that I got to speak to David Feinstein Zatzal, was in the sukkah, because in the sukkah he had nowhere to go. You know, the rest of the year he was walking here, walking there. The sukkah he was, so I would go over to him. I kept a notebook of all our conversations in the sukkah. And so I asked him about elevators. So he had a different thing of elevators than the psak that I like is that it's potter, because I told you, because it's not kavua. That's how we started off the shiur today. He thought no, but he has another shita. His shita was that the only chayiv in mezuzah in a building if it's 100% Jewish. Because there's a din of shutfus, that shutfus with an akum, say you have a roommate that's not Jewish, then it's part of a mezuzah. So you want to say a shutfus with an akum is different. That so if every person in the apartment building would be Jewish, so then you'd put it even on the elevators. That's what he held. But this is the story. So there is a Rashi in Yuma, in the Yud Aleph, I think it is. See, there's a Gemara says, what does Bisharecha mean? So I told you the Rambam says Bisharecha means the door. That's the mokarf that he told the Chachmei Lunil, quoted in the Kesef Mishnah, that you have to put a mezuzah on only when there's a door, because Bisharecha. But the Gemara says Bisharecha means that if you have the Shar Ha'ir, if you have a city that's surrounded by a what? By a walled in city, and like Yerushalayim, and you have doorways, so it would be chayiv and mezuzah. Bisharecha means the Shar Ha'ir is also chayiv and mezuzah. So Rashi writes that Rov Yisrael. But the city has to be Rov Yisrael. So I asked Rabbi David Feinstein, he told me it has to be all Jews. So at the next meal, I was thinking about this. So at the next meal, I saw him at the next meal. I came over and said, what about Rashi and Yuma? It says Rov Yisrael is good enough. So he told me, we don't pass like the Rashi. You need Kol Yisrael. Because if you hold like the shita that shutfis paters, so there's one guy in the building, so now it's not called Yisrael, it's only Rov Yisrael. So the Or Sameach says different than the Rebbe David Feinstein. The Or Sameach says that the din of shutfis akum is if you have a house, and you live in the house, and there's one guy, then you're pater. But this is not, this is just a lead up to your house. So in other words, the Or Sameach Tain is that when it's not chayiv b'fnei atzmo, it's only chayiv because it's a lead up to your house. So then we have to determine how do we label this ear? Is this ear shel Yisrael or ear shel Akum? So if it's Rov Yisrael, so then we could say b'sharechet is a shar of ear shel Yisrael. But it doesn't have to be called Yisrael as long as it's Rov, because it's not. The house is mechayiv b'toras atzmo. This is mechayiv b'toras a lead up, and you have to label it as a ear shel Yisrael. So it relates to the preliminary of the Jews. The rov is sufficient. So that's what the Or Sameach says. So he didn't have that perspective of how the Or Sameach said it. So he said if it's not called. So in our building, we're pretty good. We have probably 95% Jews. But it's not called Yisrael, and therefore, so Rav Abadi said you didn't need it because he felt that it's going to get stolen in Washington Heights, and Rav David said you need Kol Yisrael. So even though once why you bought the building, now why you sold it to Ruby Sharon, you know, so it's also Biyad Yisrael, but. I didn't press it anymore, you know. Maybe one Purim Rav Goldwacht again will get a hisaurus to put up a mezuzah again. So I didn't. But Rov, yeah, that was the story. Yeah. So no, another question? Checking the mezuzahs. Yeah. Stuvia, what do you want to say?
Other than Baal Tosef, is there any problem with putting up too many mezuzahs? Like, if you're unsure about a specific door, is there a problem with putting one up and if you're not sure?
On the same side or on different sides?
No, just you only put up one mezuzah, so you're not sure. Let's say there's like no lintel, you're not sure whether or not room would or would not be really be mechayev. And there's a problem of putting one mezuzah up.
Yeah, also the question, yeah, so Ramosh has a truth about that, that maybe it's not a problem. But in general, you shouldn't really put up a mezuzah if it's not if it's potel kulei alma. I mean, is that? But it might not be Baal Tosef, but still, it's not. That was the shaila in the Gluck based medrash that on the side of the based medrash by the bathroom. You go in there. There's a mezuzah in those glass doors, but there's no tzuras haPesach. It's just the middle of the wall. So that's a question whether there's any shita that you should really put up a mezuzah there. But they sold the kibudim there. You know. You saw the thing. Who's going to pay for the mezuzah and who's going to pay for the aron kodesh and who's going to pay for the bima and the so. So they have a mezuzah there, but I don't know if there's any shita that really would say you should put a mezuzah there. But it's there. What can I tell you? Well, so Shechta says over from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, we know the halacha is that checking mezuzahs, you should check twice in every 7 years. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says a chiddush, that today you don't have to do that, Bezman Hazeh. Why? Because we have climate control. In other words, in the old days in Europe, wherever, when it was winter, it was cold. The heat was not, so then you're afraid. In the middle of the winter, your mezuzahs will freeze over, and then the thing will chip, and then the osseous will be coming off. But today, we have climate control. It's never so. The only question, like Rosh Hashanah, is the outdoor mezuzahs. The one, if you're in an apartment building, and so all your mezuzahs are indoors, except if there's one on the front door, which maybe we discussed before. But in a house, many of the mezuzahs are indoors. Obviously, the doorways that lead into the house are outdoors. So I think Rav Shachar said Rav Shlomo Zalman, he thought only the outdoor places really, really need a mezuzah, and not the indoor. Which the indoor places, there's climate control, and you don't have to worry about that. Lamaise, I would recommend that, because sometimes people, it's not pshat that the mezuzahs are wearing off. It's they got it from a not reliable source from the get-go. So if you're not sure that you got it from a reliable source, so then you need to check it because if you know for sure it was a reliable source, and then the only question is, did it get ruined in the course of time? So then Rav Shlomo Zalman's thing could be relevant. Of Bezman Hazeh, there's climate control except for the outdoor mezuzahs. This comes up a lot in the Heights. People are always moving in, moving out, and they want to know, could they take their mezuzah? So you're really not supposed to take a mezuzah because you consider it being mazik. Mezuzah is a shmira. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, my father always used to like the quote from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that when there was an attack in Maalot many years ago, and then they found the amount of people that killed or the same amount of mezuzahs that were puzzled or something like that. But even if not exact, but Rashi in Psachim and Avdalin says mezuzah is a shmira. That's why when you socher a place, it's the Allah socher, not the man. The owner doesn't have the chi of mezuzah. The person who's living there has the chi of mezuzah. The socher, not the maskir, because the Rashi says mezuzah is chovas hadar, and Rashi says it's a shmira. So it's a shmira for the person who lives there. So therefore, if you take the mezuzah with you, you're taking away the person's shmira. But Rav Abadi said to me that he thinks that it's mashma from the Ramah that you could charge for that. So Rav Abadi says you should offer to sell it to the guy. And if he wants to buy it, you have to leave it there. If he doesn't want to buy it, then you can take it. But if you don't know who it is, so then Rav Abadi said, so then obviously that means you're not going to get reimbursed. So then you're not mechuyev to... So it's not a gift, and therefore you could. Rabbi said, therefore you could take it. But because that comes up a lot. In other words, if the mezuzahs have a sentimental value to you, so and the guy wants to buy it, so you don't have to leave him those mezuzahs. You could, but you have to leave the house with mezuzahs. And you can take those, put on all the mezuzahs that don't have a sentimental value to you.
Would Rebbe apply the other Rav Abadi about concern that a non-Jew might like be mezuzal it? Because sometimes, like when moving out of your apartment, the super might do a new coat of paint and might remove the mezuzahs. So should you then like? Should you take it off and put it back on, like give it to the new owner?
Yeah, so that's a good question, right? That's a good question. I guess he assumes as a firm Jew moving in, he'll make sure that it's put, take it off and he'll take care of it. Something like that. But that's an interesting ha'ara that you're making. Okay, and if you're renting, so in Chutz La'aretz, so you have a 30-day respite, right? You can put it up on day 31. Only Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, once it's, you don't have that. You have to put it up right away. The Gemara says, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because we don't want you to move. In Eretz Yisrael. So if you're going to, once you put up a mezuzah, you're not going to want to move because you're going to have to leave them there. And so therefore, you won't move out. So you should, and you'll stay in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, you have the 30-day, so on day 31, you have to put up the mezuzah. So the question is, what if you want to put up the mezuzah earlier? Because you're planning to stay there for 2 years, whatever. So do you have to wait? So some poskim hold you have to wait till day 31. Because there's no chiv till then. So it's sort of like tasev lo ben osoy, that you put up the mezuzah before there's man chiv. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote these interesting svarim on this mesechtas ktanos. Like Masechta Avodim, Masechta Kusim, Masechta Mezuzah, these Masechta Ketanas. So he wrote a parish on a lot of these Masechta Ketanas. So in his, so he wrote a parish on Masechta Mezuzah. So he thought that no, that's not Tasav Olam Ra'ah. So because Lamaisa, the structure's there. It's just no one's living there yet, but the structure's there. So since the structure's there. That's considered a makom chiyuv, even though technically it's not chayiv because lemaisa no one's living there. It's not a makom dira, but dira is a tnai. See, if the tzuras hapesach wasn't there, that's a chisar. This is a very long shavort. That there's a difference between a house that's there physically, where everything is in place. It's just the people aren't there, where it is opposed to the house where the lintel, the molding is not even up yet. So that's a chisaron of the etzem achiv. So then you can't put it up beforehand. You can put it on the lintel and put it, you know, on the molding before it's in the doorway, and then put the mezuzah on the lintel when it's detached, and then put it on the in the thing, because that's a chisaron in the etzem hadavar. But it's basically everything is there physically. It's just the people didn't move in yet. That's why it's not chayiv. So he thought that you still could put it up because that's a dover mibachutz, the people. So I like that pesach. So I Rav Shach holds based on Rav Shach, and maybe if you sign a lease, so that then Schiris is Kanya or something like that. So then maybe you would again put it up right away. So basically, I myself put the mezuzah up right away, even with Schiris. But if someone needs a cooler, they don't have the mezuzah, so I'll tell them Yeshal Milismoch that they have till day 31 to put it up. But you see the problem sometimes, you wait till day 31 and then you forget. And then all of a sudden, okay, so Lamaisis Chirish is only the Rabbanan, because it's not yours. Like Rav Shach said, Beisantosis, Beisecha. It has to be yours. But the thing that really bothers me, I told you before, is when I sometimes go to people's homes and they own the home and they're still patching around and we, you know, they still didn't get all the mezuzahs. So that's a real shiloh of a bittul mitzvah essay d'oraisa. I'm being nice, saying it's a shiloh. It's not a shiloh. It's not that you say, oh, it's a shiloh. It's not a shiloh. It's for sure. You vatel mitzvah essay d'oraisa, unless it's a room that's not really chayiv, it's not dalal dalal, it's maybe not a door or things like that. But for that, a person has to be very careful. If you buy a house, you should make sure you have the mezuzahs ready to go. And that means that when you're moving in, you're going to put them up. So the question is, do you have to put them up right away? Can you put them up a day or two before? That's the same shayla we had before. Is that a sort of like tasav lobin osoy or not? So Pashas, I think, what Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, that as long as the structure is there, it's probably not tassav lomina osui, because the fact that the people aren't there and it's not mechayev, that's a dover b'machutz. But the tassav lomina osui is on this physical thing. So if physically there's a problem that you didn't put up the lintel, the frame or whatever, now you're going to put the mezuzah on the frame and then you're going to put the frame in the doorway, that would be tassav lomina osui. But here the building's there. Just the people to move in, so that wouldn't be tassav lomina osui. But sometimes it's very hard. That the second you get to move in, you know, you all of a sudden you get to put up the mezuzah. You know, it's going to be very, you know, hard. You know, it's hard enough moving in. Now you get to first, you know, patchka around with the mezuzahs and things like that. But the person has to make sure that the first day he's staying over, he's going to eat dinner, he's going to go to sleep there. That the mezuzahs have to be up if it's a house that he bought, and he should, and if not, it's as again, it's not a shayla of it's the chorot, it's probably vaday that it's a bittul mitzvah essay. You know, people in yeshiva shalinga, oh, it's a shayla of this, but this is not a shayla. This is a bittul mitzvah essay. So if you own it, then if it's chiris, then it's only drabanan. But if it's not spirits, it's not. Okay, what else? Any other questions? Okay.
Rabbi, did we talk about the archway situation?
Oh, the archway situation, right. So the archway situation is a question of what calls Shlish Elyon. So some say Shlish Elyon, the curvature is like the Mashkov, and then the straight part, the vertical part, is the mezuzah, and then you do the Shlish from the straight part. And others say no, that even the arch is part of the mezuzah until it gets within four tefachim, until the arch narrows. Within that you can draw a line of four tefachim, and then but anything from then on is part of the mezuzah, and then you do a shlish elyon from that. So those are the two opinions. whether the shlish elyon starts only from the part that's not curved, or if even part that's curved is considered in the mezuzah and is part of the discussion of the shlish elyon. You know, when you take that into account into the measurement, except once it curves to and that you can, it's only for up to four tefachim. When it's four tefachim or less, then for sure that's the mashkuf, and then you don't take it out into cheshbon of counting it into the shlish elyon. So I always make sure that when a person has that, that they should usually have a tefach from the curvature. Because according to the shita, that the curvature is the beginning of the mashkof, and the halacha is if you're when the tefach of the mashkof, you're not yotze. So I always like that there should be at least a tefach from where it curves, where it moves that, and some type of place under there.
What would Rebbe do if that curvature is much greater, so that if you did a tefach below the start of the curvature, that would already be below the top third if you calculated the other way, and you wouldn't be able to say that way either.
I'm not following.
Rebbe said he would recommend people do a tefach below where the curvature starts.
Right.
Right? But what if the curvature is large enough that in calculation that would be below the top third? That's below the top third if you were to calculate to the top of the curvature.
Yeah, right. If it's going to be below the top third, then yeah. So then you have to be machria, which is the ikar shita, and forget about the other shita. I think that's what I was told. Okay. But usually it works out. Okay, Rabosai. I always like giving the shiur, chazming the halachas, but I always, you know, get to meet new people, old people. It's always good to, you know, so come by when we see each other. You know, Zoom is Zoom, but it's not. You know, I like to talk to real, you know, people in real life. So always come by to discuss whatever you like. It's nice to have spent the two times with you. It could be that Rabbi Orlin calls me if somebody cancels. I always give him an offer that I would give a shiur on the international dateline in Halacha, which I've done several times if someone cancels on the last minute. So you never know. Okay, it's nice to see you all. You should be Matzliach, and we'll be in touch. Okay.
That's for everything. Thank you.
Slachan Rabbah.